is still worshiping from home right now, as in many churches, but we're glad you're here today. It's an awesome day in the Lord. We got a flock of kids over there. Praise God. I guess it's a flock or a herd or something like that, right? Hallelujah. God is good. My name's Rick. Some of you that took your children next door, my wife is working with the kids today. Her name is Susan, and we're the pastors here of this work, and we're glad you're with us. And you know, God knew what he was doing when he transitioned us to this little space. He knew that, you know, this would be enough for right now until we get back to normal. So we're praising God. He's got something better for us, and we're all going to be together again in the name of Jesus. And I believe that very, very soon. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, I want to take you right on into the Word of God this morning. By the way, thank you, everyone, for your faithfulness, all of you that are giving online, electronically, mailing your tithes and offerings and things. But those of you that ever attend in a service, you can always, if you want to give, give. There's a box in the front of the room, and that you can place any offering in there too. So just thank you for your faithfulness. God has been good. We have been blessed with extraordinary gifts and various things, and it's just God has brought us through, and we're really excited about the future. The money we were wanting to raise to try to upgrade our ability to do the online and to be able to bless with the media in a better way with better computers and stuff like that, most of that finance has already come in. Hallelujah. So praise God. God has just been so good, and he always is, and he is faithful. I love the scripture that says he will give you a sufficiency in everything and an abundance to do every good work. Hallelujah. Not an abundance so we can live in luxury, but an abundance to do the work of God. Hallelujah. And that I love that, because I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed so that I can be a blessing. I don't want to just get by the skin of my teeth. I want to be able to be a blessing unto others. Amen. Hallelujah. I shared with you last week. I know when you talk about standing up in prayer and spiritual warfare and all, people sometimes get a little nervous and they think, man, I don't know if I'm ready to fight. But I want to remind you today, the fight is a good fight. Amen. It's a good fight because it's won. Christ has already won it. The enemy's already defeated. And we're called to rise up and enforce that victory in the earth. And so I want to encourage you with that today. But what I want to talk to you today about has really been burning on my heart all week long, really since last week, is this ability for us to understand that God has called us, no matter what age you are, no matter what your history is in the Lord, how old you are in the Lord, because a lot of times somebody's a true young child of the Lord, but they may be 50, 60 years old because they just came to the Lord. So you really got to be careful how you look at that when you talk about our descendants and our children and all of that. And I'll talk about that more in a moment. But I want to tell you, I cannot sufficiently tell you the urgency I feel for this next generation. The urgency in my heart. Some of you probably sense it. I mean, I just hear people and what they say and what they put on social media. And, you know, it makes me want to turn off social media, which is a great thing. But it's not merely, now hear my heart. I'm not merely talking about governmental political ideology. I'm not merely talking about that. But I'm talking about righteousness. I'm talking about light and darkness. I'm talking about good and evil. Are y'all with me? And I'm talking about whether people are even saved or not. And how many know we need to move in our country and among this generation? Hallelujah. We must have another spiritual awakening. As been prophesied and promised. And how many of you are believing for that? I am. I mean, like never before do we not need that. We need the spiritual awakening. And can I tell you, though, we know this. It begins with the church. I don't think I've listened to a message, and there are plenty of messages online now. Everybody's online. I mean, come on. And plenty of words and prophecies and messages and all of that. But the bottom line, the one thing that is the thread that goes throughout it all is, if my people who are called by my name. Amen. It really is dependent upon the people of faith for there to be a shift and to be a change. Amen. So no pressure, right? Hallelujah. But here's the thing. It's not about our diligence only. Diligence is good because our walk is a walk of discipline. We're disciples. But it's not merely about diligence, guys. It's about the heart. Amen. Amen? I don't want to just have a disgust for what I see. I want to have a heart for the people that need to be saved. Amen? And that's the heart we need to have right now and for the next generation, because God has promised a powerful harvest, even at the end of the age. And so I'm excited about that. Are you excited about it? But, you know, we need to desire it. You know, Paul made this statement in writing to the Corinthians. He says, for you have many teachers or tutors, but not many fathers. Interesting. In other words, he's basically saying, you know, teachers are a dime a dozen, but where's the heart of the father? Where's the father's heart in what is shared? Because see, here's the thing. A father, a true father, always wants what is best for his children, right? We know that in the natural, but we also know that spiritually. within the church, okay? And ladies, if I talk a lot about fathers and children, you know, it includes you too, because in the things of the Spirit, it's not about that. I may try to say fathers and moms today, but, you know, the bottom line is it's an understanding of having a heart for what God wants to do for those who've yet to receive. Now, I want to take you to a scripture to begin today in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 29, 29. Look there with me, if you would. The secret, some translations say the hidden things, belong to the Lord our God. How many of you know, if God hasn't revealed it yet, you're not going to see it until he does. Are y'all with me? God, there's mysterious things that he's yet to reveal. Are you with me? But look what it says. But the things that are revealed are what? They belong to us. So stop right there. If God shows you something, how many know he shows it to you because he wants you to possess it? He wants you to walk in it, right? You get a revelation of something, you go, wow. And you take hold of that by faith, right? But let me say this to you. It's not only for you, but who else is it for? It's for our sons forever. It's for our children. It's for our descendants. Hallelujah. And how many of you know, let's be honest, a lot of times great moves of God take place, but we're not necessarily seeing a very good job done of getting it to the next generation. A lot of times it's like we don't pass off the baton correctly or for whatever reason. And I'm not being critical. I'm just saying that's part of the reason we have such ebb and flow with revival and a harvest. And then it seems like we go into a moral decline and then things break again. And I'm telling you, there's something. I believe at the end of the age, with the urgency of the hour, the remnant is going to press through that. And we're going to start to see things begin to go to where God wants us to go. Amen. Now, when you see children, the word for children in the Bible, many times it does speak to your natural biological children, right? Your nuclear family. It also speaks to our spiritual children, though, our spiritual sons and daughters in the Lord. You'll hear words like descendants or seed or offspring, sons and daughters. You'll hear that all through the prophetic scriptures. So the Lord is speaking to us not only on our natural families, and we should care deeply about our own natural biological children, but it also speaks to our spiritual children. Does everybody understand where we're going? Very important that we observe that this morning when we look at some of these scriptures. The revelation that has been given to us belongs to us, but it also belongs to the next generation. Amen? And so we need to believe for that. Freely we have received, we freely give. Amen? Now, Paul, we know, was the spiritual father. Now, everybody, don't go Catholic on me. I'm not talking about that. His position in love was that of a father, okay? He called Timothy his son in the Lord, but it wasn't his biological son. It was his spiritual son. Everybody with me? So everybody relax. But he said, you know, as a father. And when you read Paul's epistles, he even wrote to the church like a father to his children. He talked about how he longed to be with them and various things like that. But when he prayed... When he prayed for us, he said things like this in Ephesians. He said, I pray, get this, that the Father of glory may give to you, you know, my children, a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. How many know, if we really have the Father's heart for the next generation, we're going to want them to get the revelation that God has for them. Amen? And I believe that's the true desire of the fathers and mothers in Christ who care for this next generation. And there's a desire to see our natural born children and our spiritual children enter into everything the Lord has. I don't think our kids should have to start everything in their life at ground zero, right? This thing should be increasing. The kingdom increases. And that's what we should believe for. I love what it says in Isaiah 8. Remember, it says, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders. Hallelujah. See, that needs to be our attitude. Not only does the Lord want to use me for signs and wonders, but my children are going to enter into that with me. Again, in Isaiah 54, he said, your descendants, get this. And again, he was speaking about natural and spiritual descendants. They will possess nations and resettle the desolate cities. Hallelujah. That's awesome, isn't it? And as we were sharing last week from Psalm 78, he said, don't conceal the testimony from them. Don't keep the testimony from them, but tell the generation to come of my wonderful works. See, it's very important that we understand that. It's called the testimony. Everybody say testimony. Hallelujah. There's a testimony. And it's not just your testimony of how you got saved, though that is a testimony. It's the testimony of anything that our Lord has done. That should be on our lips to the children of the next generation. When the angel of the Lord was appearing to John in the book of Revelation in chapter 19, the angel said to John, he said, we work with you guys. We co-labor with those of you who hold on to the testimony. And then he said this statement. And this is Revelation 19, verse number 10. He said this, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, it speaks forward. Do y'all get that? We're not just talking about history. We're talking about something that God intends to do again. And it brings you great joy. So it's important for us, yes, to hold fast to the testimony, but also to tell it. I guess we would say, like you would hear today, we need to pay it forward. Amen? To the next generation. It's so important we understand that. Now, when Joshua was leading the children of Israel and they were getting the ark ready to cross over and go across the Jordan into the promised land, do you remember what he told the men to do? From every tribe, he said, I want you to go and get stones from the river. Do you remember that? And then he said, I want you to go and I want you to put these stones and build a memorial before God. And so get this, so that when your children ask you later, kind of like, what was this about? Then you could tell them that these stones are a memorial to my sons, to my children, to my offspring forever. Amen? Forever. To celebrate what God did that day. Do y'all see it's so important why we have a testimony and why our children, this next generation, hear that testimony. They're going to ask, what does it mean? Interestingly, they don't ask a lot of questions about how religious we are. But you start to talk about what God has done, amen, and what God is doing, that gets people's attention, amen? And that's the kind of people we need to be. Anybody want to be that with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, we all have a story to tell. Amen. We all have a story to tell. I heard a preacher say this years ago, it's history. It's his story. Yeah. Amen. And we need to tell that story. How many know the devil loves to pervert history? Yeah. Or he loves you to dwell on the part of your past you don't want to talk about. You have heard me say before, well, that was BC. That was before Christ in Rick Bennett's life, you know. I have a different life now. I don't want to live in the past. I want to forget what lies behind. Amen. Well, even today, you know, we have a major problem in our country with revising of history. I guess that's just the devil's bailiwick. That's what he likes to do, and to pervert things, to cause us to not understand. But I'll tell you today, the battle for our children and this next generation of harvest is very intense right now. Amen? It is very intense. And here's the thing. The battle's outcome is going to have a major effect on the church. And it's going to have a major effect on our families, and it's going to have a major effect on this nation. Hello? The ebb and flow of this nation has been determined by its spiritual barometer. Hello? Now, secularists will not admit that. But if you look at true historians that talk about the awakenings and the moves of God throughout the land, you see how it changed and it turned things the right direction. As I shared with you last week, we cannot concede these coming months to the darkness. Amen. We cannot do that. We've got to stand up. We've got to engage in the warfare. We've got to put on our armor. Amen. Take up our swords. Stand in the strength of his might. Hallelujah. And begin to rule and reign with him over these things through prayer. When we pray, what are we doing? We are proclaiming the Lord's victory. Hello? Many people pray and it's all about the problem. But the Lord wants us to declare the answer. Amen? When I first got saved, there's a very, very popular song by Andre Crouch. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. Now, as simple as that is, it's profound. Are you with me? And I remember, I thought, wow, it's nothing has changed. In 2,000 years, nothing has changed. He's still the way, the truth, and the life. Are y'all with me? So we must stand, we must pray, we must prophesy, we must decree, and we must go out and just boast in the Lord. And tell the test. See, a lot of people don't witness and testify because they think they need to be a theologian. God said, I just want you to go brag on me. Yeah. Amen. I just want you to go brag about me to others because that's what's going to catch their heart. Hallelujah. They don't really want a sermon. They want to hear about what the realness of God. Hallelujah. You know, when Nehemiah and those who were working with him were rebuilding the wall, what a project. But what a heart that Nehemiah had to rebuild the wall. Because it all began with him praying and fasting and seeking God. He knew it shouldn't be that way, right? And he sought God, and he was starting to rebuild the wall. They were starting to make some progress, but they were under intense ridicule from the enemy. If you've ever read Nehemiah, it was constant, this ridicule from the enemy. But you know what the Bible says? They stood firm, get this, because they had a mind to work. Yeah, I know Jesus is coming, and maybe we'll see him come in our generation. I know we're closer to the end of the age than anybody else that's ever lived, right? But the bottom line is we still need to have a mind to work because he's still building his church. Amen? Until he comes, he intends for everybody possible to come into the kingdom of God. Do you believe that? I believe that. Hallelujah. They had a mind to work. Now, as the progress on the wall began to move forward, the enemy got even angrier and began to cause a disturbance among the people. But it says this, Nehemiah and the people prayed. Now, get this. And they set a guard against the enemy's attacks. So is the enemy attacking? Absolutely. But we can set a guard. Hallelujah. We set a guard in prayer before the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, some of the Jews that lived nearby began to tell Nehemiah, we've got a problem. You're not done with the wall, but there's a lot of exposed places. Y'all with me? There's a lot. And the enemy, that's where he goes. He goes to the exposed places. And he said, they're going to be at every turn, so you've got to do something about that. So it says that Nehemiah stationed men, get this, in those exposed places, in families. Everybody say family. He stationed there in families and in there, and he put them there with spears and swords and bows and all of that. Here's the problem. They were fearful. They were stationed there, but they were fearful. It's kind of like, you know, you tell the people of God, we need to rise up and begin to fight the good fight. And they go, okay, I'll do it, but I'm scared to death. Right? And I want to tell you today, we can't be fearful, right? We cannot be fearful, especially when you're entering into warfare. You can't win any warfare if you're afraid. But I want you to look at how Nehemiah responded to them. Look with me in Nehemiah 4 and verse number 14. Look what it says. When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Okay, two things I want you to grab from this. Number one, what did he say? Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Amen? Amen? I mean, when you're celebrating the testimony, you won't have any trouble remembering, yeah, fear has approached me, but my God is great and awesome. Amen? Hallelujah. I love to take a, how many of you have ever done this? I love to grab hold of a testimony of God's faithfulness in my life before and just kind of shake it in the devil's face, you know? Are y'all with me? Hallelujah. So that's number one, very important to remember. But number two, what does he say? Fight. Everybody say fight. Fight for your brothers, for your sons, for your daughters, for your wives, and for your houses. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to be willing to fight and step into the battle. Hallelujah. Look at verse 15. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his own work. From that day on, I love this, half of my servants carried on the work while half of them held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the breastplates. I don't know about you, but that's a beautiful picture of what happens when we stand together as the body of Christ. We have a mind to build, but we also understand this is a fight. Amen? And we can't be foolish and understand. We need to understand what the schemes of the enemy are. Hallelujah. What a picture this is of the royal priesthood, being able to stand before God and take a stand. I believe with all my heart, the Lord is putting a fight in the remnant. He's putting a fight in the remnant. But he's also, hear my heart, he's also putting a mind to work. Amen? A mind to build and understand. We're not just fighting to be fighting so we can have a trophy. We're fighting to advance the kingdom of God. We're fighting to see our children saved and walking with the Lord. Amen? To see this generation serve God. You know, the greatest thing we can give our children is the testimony. Because that's the key to their inheritance. It's the key to their inheritance. Y'all hear what I said? The testimony is the key to the inheritance. Tell the testimony to your children. Tell them your story. Talk about the miracles. Talk about the breakthroughs. Amen? I love to do it. I love to just talk about what God is doing. Tell of the stories of old. And can I tell you today, you could go and get out the Bible and just talk about what Jesus did here and what Jesus did there. Because that's your heritage too. Amen? You may not have lived during that time, but that's part of your heritage in the Lord. Amen? I love to go to the book of Acts and say, oh, look what happened here, man. They were under intense attack. They prayed, and the power of God hit them so hard, the building shook. I mean, I love to point that out to people, you know, to remind it. How many, we need that, don't we? There's a Psalm of David. Let me just say this about testimony. One more thing. I don't want to forget this. Most of you know I got saved in the late 70s at the height of what we would call the charismatic movement. It was really hopping in the 70s and 80s. And I mean, all kinds of people were being filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, Baptist, Methodist, Lutherans. I was a Methodist and my wife was a Baptist. And, you know, I mean, it seemed you go to some charismatic conference and everybody under the sun would be there. Catholics. I mean, everybody was getting filled with the Holy Spirit. But to me, it was the testimony of what God was doing. I was like jealous for it. Anybody ever see God's doing something? I wanted to be a part of it. I said, well, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And of course, my pastor had to graciously tell me, you need to get saved. And then we'll talk about getting filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, there's something, it sparks something, guys. And the enemy would try to tell you, you know, that they're really not interested. But how many of you ever heard something, and maybe at the time, you didn't really want to get into a conversation about it, but when you laid down that night, that's all you could think about. Somebody shared a miracle with you, and you're just laying there going, you know what I'm saying? Oh, the Holy Spirit does a great work after you're through talking. Hallelujah. Talk to us, Holy Spirit. Amen. We should live our lives like this psalm I want to share. I know I've been sharing a lot of psalms with you, but the Psalms of David are powerfully powerful to us as we try to understand the rebuilding of the tabernacle of David. So look with me at Psalm 145. You have your Bibles turned there because we're going to look at several verses. Psalm 145, I want to begin with verse number 1. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. I looked that up. That means always. Hello? Okay. Every day, everybody say it. Every day. Come on, say it. Every day I will bless you. And I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Hallelujah. Oh, look at verse 4. Here's the key. One generation shall praise your works to another. Amen? And shall declare your mighty acts. Guys, that's your job. That's your assignment. Amen? That's your assignment. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works, I will what? Meditate. Now, let me tell you something here. This will give you a spiritual tune-up right here if you will just understand how powerful it is what you're meditating on. I love all the ways we have now to communicate and all that is there, but you got to be really, really careful what you're meditating on. Amen? We're spending way too much time meditating on what a talking head told us on a device instead of what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us through his word. And even just to sit and meditate and think about his goodness in your life is the most powerful thing you can do. What did Jesus say? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in thy sight. Amen? So it's important for us to understand it. But let's keep going. Go with me to verse 6. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts and will what? Tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory. I love that. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. How many of you want to be eager to talk about what God has done? We used to sing a song back during the revival that I told you about, the powerful revival we had in the late 90s back in Memphis. And I remember one of the songs we sang was, "Look what the Lord has done." I mean, the whole song, it was just celebrating the power and goodness of God. And the whole church was celebrating. I mean, everybody, such a move of God that week, but we were also remembering what he had done even the night before. And how you know that's how God wants us to live. Amen? That's the joy of the Lord, and that's our strength. Hallelujah. Verse number 8 says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness." The praise team was singing that this morning. Amen? "The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall what? Bless you." I did not talk to the praise team, but almost every song today was about blessing the Lord. Did you notice that? It was about blessing the Lord. Verse number 11. Oh, this is good. Now get this. "They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and what? Talk of your power." For what reason, everybody? "To make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom." This gets even better. "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout," last two words, say it, "all generations." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's unchanging. He's the same with us today as he was yesterday, and he will be forever. Hallelujah. "From one generation to another, tell your children," because can I tell you this? They need to hear it. They need to hear it. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Glory be to God. We're not to declare the testimony of the Lord, though, in some kind of a condemning way. How many of you ever tried that? You call it witnessing. And you usually get a door in the face, or maybe even cursed at. And you certainly don't win any favor with them, right? And I found that generally doesn't work. I mean, believe me, I've done it. I'm a Bible Belt guy. Believe me, I know. And I've been there. I've been on those wonderfully blessed outreaches. But we're not to declare the testimony of the Lord in the condemning way, is what I'm saying. But we're to declare it with joy. Because after all, it's good news. It's glad tidings. Amen? Because when you declare it with joy and they start to believe it, even if they're not what I would call a believer in Jesus yet, they get hope. Yeah, you know, things are bad right now, but, you know, Rick told me about something that Jesus did. I mean, the woman with the issue of blood had spent everything she had, remember, on doctors for 12 years, was still sick. She's broke and sick, sick and broke, right? And she heard about Jesus. Somebody talked about what Jesus was doing. And that woman took a bold step to go press in to find Jesus and grab hold of the hem of his garment and get her healing. And so I'm just saying to you today, it's the testimony is what leads to that. Are y'all with me? Interesting. Jesus was telling them sometimes, please just keep this to yourself. Because they were really being overrun with the crowds, right? And it wasn't time for him to be glorified to that degree at that point. But so when we declare it in love, that's the joy of what happens. I want to help them know that his... Here's the thing. I don't think a lot of people know this. I think a lot of people have heard that if you receive Christ, you won't, when this life is over, go to hell. And that's true. You'll go to a glorious eternity with him in heaven. And that's a beautiful, awesome thing. Everybody agree? But a lot of people have not heard that this everlasting kingdom carries over to the next generation. We tend to think things are not anything like what they used to be. And they're not, but they should. That shouldn't be that way. Amen? Because his kingdom is still the same. It says in Isaiah, the scriptures we use a lot at Christmas time, the increase of his kingdom shall not end. His kingdom and his government shall not end. In other words, it's an increase that will continue to take place. I am to testify. I am to share the testimony. I'm to brag on Jesus. Hallelujah. And leave room for the Holy Spirit to do the convicting. Amen. He does. That's his job. He will convict of sin, righteousness. My job and your job is to tell the testimony. Hallelujah. Really, it's pretty easy, right? Have a relationship with God and just let it rip. Amen. The triumph of Jesus that we've experienced and that we have possessed in our lives is our children's inheritance. Amen. It's our children's inheritance. Now, I want to share with you four prophetic promises that you can hold on to. And I want you to, you can jot them down if you want or get this video later and write them down. But these four prophetic promises I want to give you regarding your children. And again, when I'm talking about some of you, your children or your grandchildren biologically, and some of you, your children. You know, for me, I was a youth pastor, as some of you know, for 9 years. And we had a huge youth group and a lot of kids that we led to the Lord, and they went through discipleship. And I pray for them, a lot of them, because some of them are walking in their inheritance or some are not. And so it kind of grieves my heart as a youth pastor to see that some of them, but so many of them are walking. I'm not trying to be negative, but I am trying to say it's just the Father heart in me. I want to see every one of them living for and serving God. Are y'all with me? So I want you to think about this with these promises. You may say, well, I don't even have any natural children. But yes, you do. You have spiritual sons and daughters, okay? So I want you to think of it in that way. So let me give these to you. Four prophetic promises. Number one, our children, get this, will be saved. Our children will be saved. And even the prodigals from among our children will turn back to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Now, the first verse, we're not going to look it up. Most of you know the story. Paul told the jailer, when he said, the jailer said to Paul, he said, man, what must I do to be saved? And you remember what Paul said to him? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household, your family. How many of you love that promise? You ought to hold on to that. That's in Acts 16. But I want to show you another, because a lot of you would tell me today, well, I know some of my children, because some of you have older children, some of you have younger children. We know they've received the Lord, but for a lot that have gotten older, you're like, okay, I'm really struggling. I don't know how much they're walking in what they prayed about when they were kids. And I want to tell you today, there's a powerful verse that's found in Jeremiah. So turn there with me to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Look at verse number 16 with me. Thus says the Lord, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. How many of you know it's one thing to cry? It's another thing to think that that's going to change anything. I'm not being mean, okay? I'm not being mean, but that doesn't move anything. So the Lord says, stop your eyes from tears. Look what it says, for your work will be rewarded. Hallelujah. Declares the Lord, and now stay tuned, and they will, it's talking about children, they will return from the land of the enemy. Come on. Hallelujah. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children will return to their own territory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only will they be saved, but the ones that have wandered off will return. Remember the story of the prodigal? Hallelujah. Okay, you got that one? Second prophetic promise. Our children will not live under the curse of iniquity that you and I were formerly in bondage to. Amen. Some people need to get this, because we tend to distinct because of the Old Testament passages that says the Lord visits the iniquity upon the next generations, and he does, but in Christ that is broken. That visitation doesn't happen, because it says in Galatians that Jesus, when he hung on the cross, became a curse for us. Amen. So in Christ, that is severed. That's a good word. That is severed to no longer be visited down. So don't you prophesy it over them. I've heard people say that. Well, you know, my son's just acting like I did. Well, I thought you were saved. Amen? Come on, why don't you start to fight for your son? Because the enemy has duped him to thinking that he's got to do what you did. Boy, I didn't want my son. My son did never live like I did as a teenager. My son got saved early as a child, and he never wandered. I'm not here to glorify Ricky, but I tell you, he lived for the Lord all his teen years. Amen? If you're in Christ, the curse of iniquity is not visited on your children. I love the story in Genesis. We won't go there, but in Genesis, I think around 19 or 20, do you remember when the two angels actually went to Sodom and they went to Lot to get him out of there? Are you with me? Because the judgment was going to come. And he went to get him out of there. And you could go read the narrative. They asked Lot, they said, do you have any sons or daughters in the city? And if there anyone else, he said this, that belongs to you, if so, get them out. Get them out. Amen? God wants to get them out to save them from the judgment that's sure to come. Are you with me? It's important to understand that. My former iniquity, okay? Y'all, I'm not talking about iniquity. It's just that bondage in your life, okay? It could be addiction. It could be, you know, immorality. Anyway, it could be a lot of things. But we've seen that happen, and it does go from generation to generation. You can just see the pattern throughout a family line, and it only gets stopped in Christ. Guys, I've got dire alcoholism in my upline past my father, but my father broke it when he got saved, and he didn't follow that pathway of his father and his father's father. Of alcoholism and dying young from cirrhosis of the liver and all of that. And the abandonment of families and all that went on with that. All the curse that was attached to that iniquity. It did not pass down. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be. I just want to tell you, my former iniquity is not to be visited upon my children. Hallelujah. I'm going to fight and take a stand against that in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. My children, I'll put it this way. My children are not going to live in what God took me out of. Yes. Hallelujah. So again, I'm not rebuking you, but I guess I am. Be careful what you say over your kids. Be careful what you prophesy over them. You might not say, thus saith the Lord, but you might be setting them up for failure. Hello? Hello? Come on now. Be careful, because they have a heritage. They have a heritage, and it's good. You need to say that. My kids' heritage is good. Our children's heritage is good. Everybody got that second one? Third one. The third prophetic promise, our children, get this now, will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Amen. And they shall dream dreams, and they shall see visions. Hallelujah. Remember what Peter said at Pentecost? He said, it shall be in the last days that I will what? Pour forth of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters, not only you, but your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Amen. Dream dreams and have visions. Hallelujah. They will be filled with the Spirit and they will walk in it. You know, some of us, our children, were actually raised in a rich culture of the Spirit. My son was, right? And a lot of times, I've had people ask me, I don't understand, you know, why my child is not living that life anymore. And I just tell them, I said, you know, sometimes we're always challenged. We got to be really, really careful what well we're drinking from. The well I'm drinking from is the well of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we got to be really, really careful, because the world offers different wells, different drinks, right? But Jesus said, the drink I give them, they'll never have to thirst again. Hallelujah. And I want to become a well in them of living water by the, obviously he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, that is being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So again, even in this, be careful what you say over your children, because I believe deep inside that hunger is there for those things, and we need to begin to prophesy that over them. Everybody got that one? And number four, are you ready for this fourth one? Our children will minister in the power of the Holy Spirit with signs and with wonders. Amen? Amen. They will. What did Jesus say? Truly, truly, he who believes in me. Did he say my apostles? No. He said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works he will do, because I go to my Father. Do y'all see it? The Father let the Son walk in his works, and the Son in the same way is called for us to walk in his works. And if you notice something, from generation to generation, there's supposed to be again an increase. Jesus was not the least bit intimidated with the idea of the fact that greater works would be done. Have you ever read the book of Acts? It's amazing. It's amazing. And I'm telling you, it's part of our children's inheritance. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? I and the children the Lord have given me are for signs and wonders. Hallelujah. You remember Elijah, powerful prophet of God, right? Read 1 Kings, powerful prophet of God. Signs and wonders and miracles. And yet he had a spiritual son named Elijah. Everybody with me? And that spiritual son, if you'll remember, he asked his spiritual dad, he said, I want your mantle. And then he said this, I want a double portion of it. Said, well, hold on there, boy. He said, I want a double portion of it. And he said, you've asked for a hard thing. You remember that? You've asked for a hard thing. He said, but if you're with me when I'm taken up, because, you know, he went up in a whirlwind right into heaven. And when that mantle fell to the ground, Elijah picked it up. And if you read 2 Kings, he did twice the mighty miracles that his father did. Are y'all with me? Greater works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ought to be believing that for your children. Not only will they be saved, but they're going to be filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. They're going to be highly prophetic, but they're also going to be ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be. I'm getting excited just thinking about it. We need to start to see that when we pray. Amen. And see what God wants to do. These are the things we should be contending for and decreeing over our children. Again, our natural sons and daughters and our spiritual sons and daughters. Let me tell you this about your spiritual sons and daughters. There's some, we've not met them yet. You know, we've not met them yet, but they're coming in. Some of you will meet them at an altar call. Some of you will meet them on an outreach, right? Some of you will meet them when you lead them to work in the break room. You lead them to Christ at work. You know what I'm saying? You haven't even met your children yet, but they're coming. Anybody believe that with me? They're coming. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Ephesians says, if you and I will awaken and arise from our slumber, as though rising from the dead, it says Christ will shine on you and on me. Anybody ready to rise? Yes. Seriously. Are we ready to arise? Because this is important, because all we want to see God do in glory upon our descendants isn't going to happen if daddy and mama don't stand up. Hello? Hello? Very important. I saw a stat once about when a child gets saved, the impact on the family is like 8 or 9%. When mama gets saved, it's about 30%. But when daddy gets saved, it's like 80 or 90% impact on the rest of the family. And it's not about, you know, lifting up the male over the female. It's about the realms of authority and God's. And when the father is in rightfully placed in the home, and mama too, when that authority is there, you have more authority over your children than you think you do, even if they've already grown and left the house. Hello? Something given unto you. You with me? Glory be to God. This is crucial. Now go with me to Isaiah. Isaiah 59. I want to go to verse 21, and I'm going to read into chapter 60, okay? There's no chapter break when Isaiah prophesied this. So let's go to Isaiah 59. The last verse of 59 is verse 21, and then I want to read a few verses into chapter 60. Okay. As for me, listen to the Lord. This is my covenant with them, says the Lord. Okay? My spirit which is upon you, and my words which I have put where? Come on, say it. In your mouth. Shall not depart from your mouth, now get this, nor from the mouth of your offspring, your children, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, your grandchildren. Are you with me? Says the Lord, from now and forever. Say that's for us, right? Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples. And how many know we're seeing that now in a lot of areas, are we not? Are we not? But the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Now look what he says. Lift up your eyes. You remember Jesus said to his disciples, lift up your eyes. Round about and see. Everybody say, see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons, here it is, beloved. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in their arms. Then you will see, and you will be radiant. Anybody ready to radiate? And your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you, and the wealth of nations will come to you. There will not be an issue about finance when we're going after the harvest. Hallelujah. Our testimony is Christ in me and Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. And that is my children's inheritance. Glory be to God. In Christ, we triumphed and we experienced that triumph. We possess it, and it's for our children to inherit. Here's the principle: from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength. Are you with me? From works to greater works. That's how it works. And this is what God wants. I love what Bill Johnson said. He said it years ago, but I've never forgotten it. He was talking about, you know, being a more aged minister in years. And he said, you know what I really want? He said, my heart is so changed about the next generation. He said, I want my ceiling. In other words, what I would consider the heights of what I've attained. I want my ceiling to be my children's floor. Isn't that good? I don't want my children to have to go to ground zero. I want them to be able to springboard forward. How many? When that begins to happen, we're going to see a glory we've never seen before. The things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. So let's pray. Let's prophesy. Let's decree the word of the Lord. Let's fight for our children. Let's fight for them. And not only that the enemy's plan would be exposed and God would frustrate the enemy's plans, but that they would walk according to the prophetic destiny that the Lord has for them. Again, begin to speak and tell the testimony of the Lord again and again, and do it in joy and do it in love. In Judges 6, almost done, we're going to pray. But in Judges chapter 6, I've taught you out of this story many, many times, so we're not going to just read it all. But what happened here, Midian is the enemy of Israel at this time. And Midian had greatly oppressed Israel, greatly oppressed them to the point where they were crying out in prayer. They weren't even praying in any faith. They were just crying out to God like, what in the world, the Lord save us from all of this. And then a prophet came. God sent a prophet. I mean, sometimes we're asking God to do something and God says, I need to tell you something. And the first thing the prophet said to them was, he reminded them of their testimony. It's the first thing he said. He reminded them how God had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians and had set them free and delivered them and given him another person's land. And it was an amazing thing. But the second thing he spoke to them was this. He said, I am the Lord your God, and I said to you that you shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not obeyed me. Did you know that being in fear is disobedience?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Being in fear. And their whole reason, it wasn't that they couldn't have had victory over Midian, but they were afraid. And because they were afraid, how many know fear paralyzes you?
Right.
You just kind of sit there. You don't know what to do. And even you do something dumb in fear, right?
Yeah.
Are y'all with me?
Yep.
So Gideon, in the story, Gideon, it kind of changes this a little bit. And it said that Gideon is in a wine press and he's threshing wheat in a wine press. That's not where you thresh wheat. You thresh wheat on the threshing floor. But he's in there, and it says in the scripture, so he could hide it from the enemy. How many know God didn't want us to live like, just keep your head down. That's not walking in victory and overcoming. Just always trying to, you know, keep your head down, keep quiet, don't draw any attention over here. And that's not how to live. That's not how you live as an overcomer. And so he's doing that to save it from the enemy. And then I do want to show you a couple of verses. Go to Judges 6, verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, look what he said. The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. How many know God sees something in us that we don't see in ourselves? Come on. How many know the biggest key to that is not that he was valiant. The biggest key to that is that the Lord is with you.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? I don't want a show of hands, but how many of you prayed something similar? Hello? Or thought it anyway, right? And this guy is saying this to an angel that appeared to him. Where are all his miracles? Now, please stay tuned. Where are all his miracles which our fathers, what? Told us about. Amen? They had heard about the testimony. Do y'all see this? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Question mark. But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. Do you hear his frustration? The testimony was actually like a goad to him. Are y'all with me? Because he knew God was mightier than what they were living in, right? And even though he was in fear like the whole rest of the nation of Israel, he knew the testimony of God because his father was faithful to share it with him. Hallelujah. Now let me show you something powerful. Verse 14. The Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Think about that now. Here's a guy hiding, threshing wheat in a wine press, kind of arguing and debating with the angel, right? Well, where is God? But the angel just says, just go in this. That's your strength. And I prayed about it. I've talked about it in very different angles. But Gideon actually remembered that testimony that had been spoken to him. And even in his frustration with the enemy, even in his discontentment, it became his strength. Because the testimony said something different. Are you with me? Hello? You know, if I'm struggling and having a hard time in my body, the testimony that by his stripes I am healed is either going to agitate me and I'm going to get angry and I'm going to take a stand in faith, or I'm going to come to other conclusions, right? And so you start to understand that. The testimony actually caused within him a divine discontentment. Things shouldn't be this way. And this testimony became a strength, and it motivated him to respond to his prophetic destiny as a valiant warrior who God was working with. And guess what? Gideon was used mightily by God. He and 300 other men delivered all of Israel out of the hand of Midian. Hallelujah. See, it always a remnant. It's always a remnant. Remember how big the army was at the beginning? 32,000. But by the time it got whittled down, it was Gideon and 300. But they were as one. Amen. They had a revelation of the testimony, and they went out and they won the victory. Hallelujah. Even as fearful and frustrated and offended as Gideon was, the testimony became his strength. And I want to tell you today, you may not think it's doing any good, but the testimony one day will become the children's strength. Hallelujah. They're going to remember, Mama told me this. Daddy told me this. The brother at church told me this. I read this in the Bible. That's a testimony. Hallelujah. Are y'all with me? I'm excited about this. As we begin to faithfully tell the testimony to our children, how about to the prodigals that are out there? They're all over the place. Amen. The prodigals. How about the children of the harvest that are out there? Amen. They're destined to know Jesus. What's going to do? It's going to stir their hearts. It's going to stir their hearts. It's going to become their strength. Because I didn't want to waste my time arguing politics with them. I wanted to talk to them about the goodness of Jesus and the necessity that we be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. We live for him to enter into our prophetic purpose and destiny. No matter how long it's been, the reality is this. Our Lord has not changed. Amen. No matter how long it's been. And it's been nearly 2,000 years since he ascended into heaven. And yet he's not changed one bit. How many of you believe that? I believe that because of the testimony and the things that I've seen he's done. This is why we hold fast and proclaim to this generation. Can y'all see that happening? Now let me give you quickly five things to do. Number one, repent. Turn your heart back to the kids, back to the children. Not only your children, but to the children of this generation. Amen? Turn your heart toward them. Have a change of heart of how you see. Number two, believe these prophetic promises that are spoken over our children. Amen? I asked the Lord in prayer the other day as I was just praying about this. I not only want to believe this for my kids, I want my heart to be enlarged to believe it in a grand way. You know what I mean? I don't want to just believe this a little slither of it. I want to believe it in a grand way. Are y'all with me? A grande way. With great expectancy. How many of you want to have a great expectancy of your kids fulfilling their destiny? Going and doing things you never did. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? And then the third thing, it's important not only to ask for these things, but it's important to contend and decree it. Amen? Even when maybe something is saying they're going the wrong direction, begin to decree the word of the Lord. I'm not talking about in their face. I'm talking about as you stand in prayer and begin to decree the word of the Lord over them. Now, these first three things, there's only five, so relax. But these first three things are what we do in prayer. It's what we do in places of repentance and prayer, gathering together and in the secret place of prayer individually. This is what we do before the Lord. Everybody understand that? But these last two things, get this. This is what we do when we're around them or before them. Okay, let me give them to you. Number four, tell the testimony. Amen? Begin to share of the goodness of God. Begin to just with excitement and a joy of the Lord, begin to share the testimony of God's goodness and his greatness. You know, Zephaniah spoke about having a stagnant spirit. And I think the King James says they were settled in complacency. I mean, you know, sometimes our kids are settled in complacency. Sometimes we are, right? And here's how you know if that's what's going on. Because they say in their heart, the Lord will not do good or evil. That verse is I think it's Zephaniah 1:12, I think. I promise it's in the Bible. But here's what they're saying. The complacent ones are saying, well, basically it's this. God's not doing anything, right? Hello? And so I believe the testimony is what breaks them out of complacency. Because it reminds them, oh yes, the Lord is doing awesome things. And he's unchanging God. You see? And that begins to spark them to believe what God is doing. Guys, I'll be honest with you. I was raised in a very, very methodical, dead experience of Christianity. There was no life in it. I'm just being honest. And I'm trying to be as honoring as I can. And my parents were godly and they loved the Lord. But for me, nothing drew me to God in that until things started happening and people started to give the testimony about the Holy Spirit and all that. And then I started to become hungry for it. And I mean, my whole heart shifted in what I wanted versus what I wanted the day before. That's how powerful it is. Are y'all with me? And I began to see that. I believe the testimony is the cure for this complacency. So begin to share it. Just begin to talk about the goodness of God. Now, don't be overbearing. And again, don't be brash and don't try to cram something down their throat. But just bring it into your life. Bring it into your lifestyle and begin to share the goodness of God. Amen? At some point, they may say, okay, Dad, you can shut up now. You know what I mean? It might come to that. That's okay. But you got the testimony in there anyway. Hallelujah. Can I be honest with you? It doesn't matter whether you ever stand behind a podium, a pulpit, or a music stand. It doesn't matter if you ever do that. Every one of us are called to testify. Every one of us are called to share the glory of God. Amen? We ought to leave worship services and prayer meetings bragging. We ought to leave outreaches and missions trips bragging about what God has done. Man, you won't believe what God did. Amen? And it sparked, and I'll tell you what, it'll shake our children out of complacency. Glory be to God. The fifth thing and the final thing, and everybody said amen, is but in faith. Now, hear me. Let me explain this. In faith, begin to lovingly look with expectancy for the children's return. You remember the story of the prodigal again? He loses everything, ends up in a pig pen, slopping hogs, as we say in the South, right? And he's in the pig pen, and he comes to his senses. It says, this would be much better back home with my dad, right? And I know I can't be a son, even though that was the lie of the devil. He said, at least I can be a servant, and I'll get paid, and I won't be slopping hogs, right? Basically, that's in a nutshell what he said. And he actually pulls himself out of there and makes his way back home. But do you remember what the father was doing? The father saw him from a long way off. Y'all getting where I'm going? And he ran to him, and he embraced him, and he kissed him. And he restored him in a moment of grace. And I want to tell you something right now. We have to have a heart that's looking for the harvest to come home. Amen? Amen? What did Isaiah say? You will see your sons and your daughters from afar, and you will thrill and rejoice at their coming home. Hallelujah. I tell you, some of you need to grab hold of this hope today and what God wants to do. Can I tell you, if you're going to expect to see your children, we've got to do what Jesus said to do. Lift up your eyes and look. Because the harvest is white, it's ripe, and it is ready. How many of you believe that? Now, I want us to pray together this morning, and then I'm going to release you. Are you ready? So I want to ask you to do this. Just remain seated if you would right now. But I want you just to pray before the Lord with me. I just want to pray over you first, and then I want to ask you to activate your faith in a couple of areas, and then I'll release you, okay? First of all, if you would, let's just go before the Lord. Father, we come before you today, and we repent. We turn our hearts toward our children. Our own kids, and even the children of the harvest that are coming in. We turn our hearts toward them this very day, Lord. We humbly open our hearts to you, Lord, and we come in agreement today in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for adopting us. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for adopting us into your family. Give us your heart for our children. Come on, guys. Agree with me right now in prayer. Come on now. Give us your heart for your children, Lord God. Anoint us, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, anoint us in the spirit and the very power of Elijah for such a time as this. Say that with me. For such a time as this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The second thing I want us to do, beloved, right now is to break any curse of words spoken over our children or any other generation that's coming in right now. And I want you to say it with me out loud. Everyone together right now. This day, in the name of Jesus, I cancel every careless, negative, and cursed thing that I may have spoken in ignorance over my children or over this generation. I plead the blood of Jesus over every evil word that has been uttered, either in ignorance or frustration or anger or carelessness. I cancel them now in the name of Jesus. I receive your pardon and your forgiveness. I repent of unrighteous and careless words. I release those who I've spoken unrighteously to. I release them now in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon formed against my children will prosper. Every word spoken against them, I declare as null and void in the name of Jesus. Freedom. Freedom is the heritage of my children, the children of God. Hallelujah. Now stand up with me, everybody. Come on, stand up with me right now. In your homes, stand up. Get off the couch. Everybody stand up right now and lift your hands toward heaven right now. We're going to make some decrees and proclamations together. I want you to say them with a forceful heart right now, with all of your heart. All of my household, my family, and my sons and my daughters will be saved. Our children will return from the land of the enemy and return to live their prophetic destiny. Our children will no longer live under the curse of iniquity. For in Christ Jesus, the curse is broken. Even my former iniquities shall not be visited upon my children. For our children's heritage is good. I'll say that again. Our children's heritage is good. Our children will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they shall prophesy, dream dreams, and see visions in the Holy Spirit. Our children will do the works of Jesus and even greater works in signs and wonders and the power of the Holy Spirit. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. For I and the children the Lord has given to me are for signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, declare amen over that right now. Hallelujah. If I could have some musicians come forward right now. I just want you to pray with me. Just go in prayer before the Lord. Lift your face toward your Heavenly Father right now in all of His goodness and pray this with me. Heavenly Father, grant me the grace to lovingly, graciously, and boldly tell of your testimony to the children of this generation, to tell them of your goodness and of your greatness. May your testimony to them be the cure for their complacency. May it stir their spiritual hunger and thirst within their hearts, I pray. I declare this day, Lord, this is a new day. Come on, say it. This is a new day, Lord. It's an awakening for me and for my children. I lift up my eyes to see the ready harvest. This is a good land. I declare it so. This is a good land. For I will see their soon return. And my heart will thrill and rejoice. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Be it unto me according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Beloved, I bless you today. I bless all of you in your homes today, online, all of our friends and partners. We bless you today in the name of Jesus. That the grace of God, His face would shine upon you. He'd be gracious. I pray today that that peace of Jesus would reside upon your heart. That even in warfare and prayer, you would have peace. And you would have joy. You would have joy. And that the glory of the Lord would be released through your life and your family. And all of your children. All of your heritage that the Lord has for you. Hallelujah. Do you receive that today? Do you receive that today? Just ask the worship team to lead us in some worship and prayer. I'm going to slip outside into the wonderful heat so I can say hi to a couple of you I haven't met before you head out. If you need anything in prayer or anything, please let us know. We'll pray for you. We're trying not to make anybody uncomfortable with the social distancing and all of that, but We'll be glad to pray with you and for you and over you. Anyway, amen. Love you. Thank you for coming today. Everybody say goodbye to our online family. Hallelujah.